You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Take one.
Knock, knock.
Who it is?
We're Stephen and Dana, and we can't believe you found our fucking podcast.
We're so glad you're listening to it. We would never listen to it.
I don't even want to listen to it to edit it.
I don't even want to wake up in the morning.
We're Stephen and Dana, and we're... in the room.
Hey, Queen.
Hi.
Is it? Are we on?
Yes, we are.
Are
on.
People listening to this right now?
We are live.
In the
room.
Oh my God.
So, okay, if you're just joining us, we have recently gotten picked up by the Broadway Podcast Network, so we may have some new people listening. So what we are
Hi.
We are In the Room with Stephen and Dana.
An entertainment podcast where we speak to people who are entertaining and work in entertainment.
Yeah, mostly theater because that's our bag. And
our Rolodex.
Yeah, and our Rolodex. I'm Dana and...
I'm Stephen Farazee.
And welcome, and... I hope you all have had a great year.
This is the most formal I've ever been on this podcast.
I just want to, like, be profesh for, like, 2 seconds. Yeah, I guess our year has been amazing.
Let's cheers, because Happy New Year!
Happy New Year!
Wow!
So, welcome.
Thank you. Hi.
You guys, that's Adam Wachter.
Hi, I'm Adam Wachter.
You may know him from Disney Plus Encore.
And if you don't...
If your finger's
get
on any sort of pulse, you're watching Encore on Disney+.
It is. People are watching it because I think it's so good, but I feel like, is anybody watching? It's such a niche.
I watched it this morning.
Oh, but yeah, well, no, I was coming here.
But it wasn't because I was watching it.
Oh.
The house I was in was Disney gaze, and we had to catch up on the Oklahoma episode.
Obviously. What a great... I saw Oklahoma last night, the revival. On Broadway. I hadn't seen it, and I loved it. Have you seen it?
No, not yet.
Well, you better hurry. It's closing in, like, 2 weeks.
I got this.
It's so good.
You got this.
I got this.
You got this. I got the baton.
Yeah, Ellie Stroker. Wait, no, let's go back to Encore. Hold on.
She's Encore.
I mean,
that's why, but I could talk about Ellie Stroker for an hour and a half. Yeah. We need to get back to, watch Encore. I just want to say... Watch Encore, everybody.
Anybody listening
to
this
podcast. If you have Verizon
podcast.
Unlimited data, you can get a free year of Disney+. That's true. And then you can watch me on Encore.
How many episodes are you in? I think I've seen
you
in 3.
I'm in 6 total of the 12, but they come out weekly. So far, I'm in 3, and then I will be in 3 more over the next 6 weeks.
So which one have you done already? Which ones? Which shows?
As of this coming out, I have appeared in Annie, Beauty and the Beast, Annie Get Your Gun, and Fiddler on the Roof just a few days ago, but really we're recording this in advance, so it hasn't been on yet.
Oh, I can't wait. We know some of the other MDs. Rob Meth.
Oh, I love Rob Meth.
Isn't he a sweetie baby?
He was in the Annie episode because he's in San Diego running that musical theater program.
Yes.
Carmel Dean has been on this podcast.
Carmel Dean is a dear
wonderful
friend.
So good. Talented.
Such a queen.
MD and composer Carmel Dean.
And has a show coming up at Joe's Pub.
Yeah. Oh, good for her.
January the 25th at 7 p.m.
Wow.
So do you have a nice elevator pitch of what Encore is? I don't know if there's like an official way of saying it, but...
I'm sure there is.
I'm obsessed with it. I think it's...
probably terrible at it.
It has so many elements of...
gayness.
So getting back to... I'm going to burst your bubble. So our production company, this is where we are right now. I work for a reality TV and documentary film production company.
You should make Encore season 2.
Well, we made best worst thing that ever could have happened.
Wait.
Yep. Cheers. Cheers.
Are you the one that messaged?
Yep.
No. Wait a minute.
And then I also run the Twitter.
Wait a minute.
Wait. Like, very poorly.
How did you not spill that information? Very poorly. So I, because I got followed by the best worst thing that ever could have happened Twitter account recently and wrote, I didn't know who it was, but someone a message being like, just want to let you know, I'm obsessed with best worst thing that ever could have happened. I saw it in the theaters while I was in tech for Merrily at the Wallace in LA.
Come on.
And we were, the whole cast went, we were all like weeping, and I've seen it many times since, and I assign it to my students at Point Park, and like, it's the best documentary.
Amazing.
Oh my
You're
God.
In a curriculum.
Amazing.
You're in a curriculum, for sure. It's you in this movie called Pittsburgh. Have you ever seen that mockumentary?
I don't think so.
Tell
us everything.
There is a mockumentary. It's like 75% documentary, 25% sort of Curb Your Enthusiasm style fakeness. And it was made in 2003, and I had never seen it or heard of it, but the executive producer of Encore, Alicia Rossiter, her friend made it, directed it or something, and was like, you have to see this movie because I live in Pittsburgh and I do musicals. And it is about Jeff Goldblum, also a Disney Plus star.
Yes!
Who is from Pittsburgh, and in the movie, he goes back to Pittsburgh to play Harold Hill in the Pittsburgh CLO summer stock production of The Music Man. And it is wonderful. It's hard to find, but I bought like a DVD of it on eBay and it's excellent. And now I make my students watch
it.
That's, I had no idea.
That's niche.
It's very niche. And like Ed Helmsley Jr. is the mayor and Ileana Douglas is the mayor's wife. Jeff Goldblum like brings these movie stars to Pittsburgh to do The Music Man for 2 weeks. And they made a movie about it.
Well, what I was going to say is Encore has elements of Merrily and, as you just described, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh. The doc. Everything comes back to Pittsburgh.
It really does. Like, these people, some of the...
going back home to do musicals.
Regular people, civilians, some of them have different levels of success, what have you. Some of them pursued theater.
Yeah.
Not a very large percentage, but like most of them are, you know, nurses and school teachers and
and
have families.
Or just reunite them and remount their high school musical production in 5 days.
Yeah, and you get to see what they used to be like as Sandy. And like maybe some of that shine has worn off and they get to rewatch those things and there's tears coming down.
Seeing their ex. So dramatic. Oh my God, Annie, get your gun.
It's in my notes. As soon as we unplug these microphones, it's in my notes.
I have a couple favorite moments. My absolute favorite is seeing at the very end when they get to put on the show. At the very end, you see their families watch them. And the way they're shooting, like, their kids' faces looking up at their parents, like, I had no idea my dad could sing, and they're laughing hysterically at these like lines from Annie. And I love it.
It's gorgeous.
Love it. Yeah, it's gorgeous.
There's gorgeous moments every episode.
Yeah. Truly,
tear up.
I was obsessed,
and it's also hilarious.
It's hilarious.
You know,
we're trying to have people who don't do this.
Yeah.
I work in production. I know that all those people had to say yes, sign a release.
Yep.
And nobody's there that doesn't want to be.
No, exactly.
Right.
That
definitely
isn't ready
Disney-fied
to be.
Disney-fied in the sense that like. I don't think anyone's really painted in a negative light. Like, at least from my experience actually being there and doing it, certainly at the end of the week, every episode that I was on, the cast members were, like, so grateful that they had done it. They were so happy with the process and everything.
It's not like reality where we try to,
like, make drama happen. There's enough drama. It's a musical. Like,
when were you filming all these?
This year. This year, we did, like, from, I think, March through end of July, like off and on, they did 12 weeks, 12 episodes all over the country. We like go to their high schools. I teach, you know, full time at Point Park, and I took 2 weeks off in the spring to shoot 2 episodes, and then the rest I did over the summer. Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know. It's real. We really do the show. Some people
they do
like,
the whole thing.
I was going to say cuts.
Yes, we do a whole show, I say. We don't do the whole show because you just can't. It's 5 days. These are not professional people. But we do a whole show. We don't just do like a number here,
highlights.
A number there just for TV. We do a start to finish, no stopping, one time only musical that has a plot and all the characters and most of the songs, even if they're somewhat truncated. But like, it's definitely a musical that you follow through. It's not like we do selections or something. We essentially do, like, you know, MTI Junior. Yeah. They have the sort of shortened one-act versions, but it's the whole show, just shortened. We do that. It's too fast.
It's too fast.
It's faster than, like, it's faster than Encore. Yes, it is faster than...
These are professional
I think Encore City Center gets 2 weeks, right?
I think 10 days.
10 days, yeah. We get 5 with people who literally have not done this since high school.
And how long are the rehearsal days? I mean, are you doing a 10 to 6, or are you working them to the bone, dawn till
dusk?
The
days are long, but it's not, like, full of rehearsal. Because we at the end of the day, we are making a TV show, not a musical, even though we are making a musical. So, like...
Know your medium.
The frustrating thing is, like, they will constantly be pulling people out of rehearsal to go film an interview, to go to a costume fitting, or, like, if a bunch of the cast is, like, at lunch having a great conversation about their high school days, and we're supposed to be back at 1 o'clock to start rehearsal, but the conversation is really flowing and they think it'll make good TV, we just sit in that room waiting for them because they are not going to stop their amazing,
like, sure,
tearful,
like,
conversation.
Push it an hour.
So, like, we rehearse even less than a real show at the end of the day because we do like little snatches of time.
Do they get the material beforehand? Are they, like, rehearsed in a way?
Sometimes they get the script if we know who's playing what, but sometimes we change, like, who's gonna play. For the most part, they play the parts they played in high school, but sometimes, like, ensemble members come back and certain principals don't come back, so we move people up. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we figure that out in advance, and sometimes we don't. Right. And we do, like, this audition day the first day, and there were certainly some episodes where they got their script and score, like, the first day of rehearsal.
But they know what show they're doing.
Yeah.
So they can...
And there was a whole submission process, I'm assuming, and wow, whoever cast it, I should know that name, but...
Jessica!
She's like, sure.
She's very active on Twitter, liking the Encore posts.
Okay, good. Maybe
you'll find her.
Okay.
Yeah, she cast it on LA. There was a submission after... Okay, so we did, like, a special. I don't know if you saw, like, the special pilot on ABC, Into the Woods.
Did.
Yeah, we did a pilot called... That we did Into the Woods, and we did it in California. But, like, in 2016, you know, we shot it. And then there was a pilot for the series for ABC. ABC did not pick up the show, but they said, we're going to just air the pilot as a special. Fun, fun, fun. So they aired it in 2017. And shortly after that, they announced, I think, that it was, like, going to happen. And then Kristen Bell tweeted, like, here's the portal to submit your show, which is still live. I don't know. I mean, fingers crossed we get a second season, but you can still certainly submit your High School Musical to be on Encore.
I would do my production of Edwin Drood again.
Who are you?
I was in the ensemble.
Perfect.
So you'd audition for a better part.
I'd get bumped.
You get bumped up to be like Peppermint Patty. No, that's not Mystery of Edwin Drood. Who, you know, who's that woman?
Peppermint Patty.
What's the woman's name? Gina Rivera. In Drood. Yeah, that's the one.
Whoa.
Yeah, exactly.
God damn it.
It's like the one musical I don't actually know very well. Sad to say.
Central Wisconsin. 1990.
Set the scene for
picture
us.
Picture
it. 1999. We did The Wiz.
Oh no. A White Wiz.
White Wiz.
White Wiz.
A White Wiz.
Yeah.
Back into it.
Okay.
So wait, where were we? Where were we?
Do you love working on television?
Yes. Here's the thing. When you're doing it, what?
I was gonna say, you know, you're the hot one.
No,
right?
No, no, no.
The hot one?
No,
like,
no, Kinnicky was the hot one.
Oh, you're interviewing who? I was like,
Well, get on, you're the hot one.
People are obsessed
with
you.
Regular.
I'm the only regular.
You're the hot one.
You're not the only.
No,
regular.
Koi's on 6 episodes. Also, it's me and Koi. Melinda.
Too.
Yeah, but that's I do have a lot of airtime, which I found surprising compared to all the other music directors.
Well, because you're a goddamn gift to society, and you need to be heard.
I don't think so. I think I just, like, can't have no filter, so I just talk. But they only use, like, the good stuff.
It's perfect. Who are your musicians? Are they
They're local. And they...
But it's not the high school band.
That's part of the challenge. It's not the high school band. They're local professionals. But that's certainly a big part of the challenge that, like, doesn't make it into the show, because who would care? But, like, actually... finding local musicians that can do it and rehearsing them, and we, like, reorchestrate the shows for a smaller number for every performance, and that becomes and then we go to, like, cities outside LA and stuff, and it's great. Like, the Fiddler Band is amazing, the Annie Band was great, we were in San Diego, and then, like, other bands in maybe some other states I won't specify were not quite as up to snuff. And there were some great players, and then sometimes, you know, it's hard. You have to, like, call a local contractor down there, and they assemble the musicians, and you don't know what you're getting until they show up, and then you, like, have to do this show. But that's
what
I would say
about,
like,
the show's brilliant.
Because you never know. Yeah. You never know what you're getting. And same with the pros in the cast, because we always flesh out the cast with this pro company, and they are locals. Also,
I mean, that was my off-mic question, was how does one become a professional ensemble member?
You have to live in the city where we are filming or work in that city.
Good God.
And then, like, usually, just like the musicians, this isn't every off-mic, this is public information. They, like, the producers find a casting director, which, like, who is the casting director in Fort Worth, Texas? I don't know. But they find whoever that person is that casts the local theater, and they say, we need an ensemble of these people. Who have you got? And sometimes they're amazing, and sometimes they're worse than the actual alumni cast.
Because you have, what, like 9 or 10 people that came back to, you know, the principals,
yeah,
of the,
like,
high
eight
school.
People-ish that come back.
Yeah, and
then
you
we
fill
flesh
it in.
It out with, like,
well, and like a
pros,
few people that can
quote.
Be like pillars for the non-professionals to,
yes,
know
to
where they
them
are
around,
and like
Mr. Puma and Annie when she,
sure,
takes those pros outside to rehearse Soap No Bubbles, I think. Which is an iconic moment, I think, of television. Mm-hmm. That and Cha-Cha de Gregorio in Greece, obviously. This rehearsal with these characters that have one line, and they just rehearse it over and over.
Because it has to be.
It has to be perfect.
I mean, when I watch Grease, that is the most important line for
Cha-Cha.
Me.
Cha-Cha. My name, what did she say? My name is Cha-Cha.
My name is Cha-Cha,
I'm
because I'm the best dancer at St.
Bernadette's.
With the worst reputation.
Oh.
It's the best part of the whole goddamn movie.
But anyway, back to television. Here's what I was going to say. Is it, when you're doing it, it doesn't feel like television per se, because you are just tasked with, like, putting on this musical. So it does,
which is what you know how to
which
do.
Which is what I do and
sleep.
What I've done for years and years and years. Yeah. So, like, yeah.
And it's reality TV. They'll capture,
like,
you. It's not scripted.
I don't, and it's not my job to worry about the TV show, frankly.
Yes.
Like,
sure.
It's my job to rehearse these people as best I can, get the orchestra in shape, get the score where we need it, and, like, conduct the show. And so I just do it, and if, like, something funny happens along the way and the cameras are there to catch it, so much the better.
So much the better for me, too.
For all the viewers at home. Oh, my God, encore.
At one point, you just look at your orchestra and you go, it's going well. And then the camera cuts away.
Yeah, probably to me, like, rolling my eyes.
Are people sending you memes of yourself?
No, I wish they would. A couple people.
Oh, I'm on it.
Please do.
Someone
make a GIF or a GIF. How do you say it?
I say GIF. GIF is peanut butter.
Okay, fair enough. A GIF. Somebody make a GIF, please. Because I don't know how. I don't know how to do these things.
Can we go back to where it all began?
Yes.
Yeah, how did you find your music? How did the music come into your life?
My parents, I guess. It's
Are
all
you like
parents.
A musical family?
Yes. I mean, I'm the only one who does it professionally.
Sure.
But my parents are very musical. My mother can play the piano, and my father can play the trumpet, and they both sing in their local choir in Holland, Michigan. And my brother is, like, a really gifted musician. He's more talented than I am, but he is a chemistry professor at a school outside Chicago. But he can play, like, any instrument, classical guitar and accordion and all these crazy things. And my sister plays trumpet also, and they both played, like, in the Michigan Marching Band, which I did not, because I never played a band instrument. I was a viola player. Like, in the car, my parents listened to show tunes, which was sort of helpful. And
you were raised correctly.
I was raised correctly. You know what? I don't think they were trying to raise a gay man, but they did everything right, if they were, you know, I think. Because, yeah, it was like a lot of theater and show.
You heard it here first.
Theater, yeah. And piano lessons. And then I started taking viola and just still, like, I was acting at the time, which I haven't done now in years. But I was acting, like, in middle school and high school, of course.
What was your high school musical? If you were on Encore
Once
in different shoes.
Once Upon a Mattress, I played Prince Dollis. Well, I did freshman year, I was Harvey Johnson in Bye Bye Birdie, which would also be great to do. Sophomore year was Oklahoma, but I was, like, Ike or somebody, and it wasn't. I mean, they've already done Oklahoma, so that's done. Junior year, Once Upon a Mattress. But then I have a great story about Fiddler, since the Fiddler episode just came out, and I'm sure the story is not in the episode because it's not about me, these episodes of Encore, as much as we like to pretend they are.
Depends who's watching.
That's true, that's true. But Fiddler in
my
high
news
school,
feed's all about you is what
thank
I'm saying
you.
Oh. I
sometimes I go through and like every tweet about Encore because I'm desperate for a second season. No, okay, so then me too. So I was like the president of the drama club. You know, I mean, you know, the gays like drama club, first chair viola in the orchestra, whatever, doing all the shows. Prince Dauntless, Once Upon a Mattress. Senior year rolls around. This is like my encore story. Senior year rolls around. I'm like, I'm going to be the star, whatever musical they pick. And then they pick Fiddler on the Roof. Cut to, I'm the only Jew in the school. So I'm thinking like, but I'm not like a Tevye. If anything, I'm like a Tzeidel. But I'm not a Tevye. I'm certainly not
I'm Joanna
a
Merlin.
I'm Bette Midler in the original production.
Yes. God bless.
Right? So I'm like, what is going to happen? Oh, I guess I'll be Muddle the Taylor.
No.
Like, and so of course I'm cast as Muddle the Taylor. And I'm like, okay. But meanwhile, Miracle of Miracles, which
bless the sewing
machine. If you watch the Jew in the school,
might be the title
writes
the
it down in his notes. So Kristen, you'll see, Chris, well, or you've just seen, because now it's...
Spoiler alert. Haven't watched yet.
Yeah, Kristen Bell comes back and works with the Muddle, who's this great guy named Dustin in the Fiddler on the Roof episode. But anyway, Miracle of Miracles, despite my very high sort of timbre of my gay speaking voice, like, I don't sing high. No, I just have this weird low, like, bass baritone, but, like, not present. Yeah, like, gay, baritone-y, useless voice.
Nobody is writing
wants
for me.
No, nor should they. Sorry. But, like... I've never known
what you're talking about.
We exist.
Useless
voice. We talk at the top of our ranges, so you think that we're like gay tenors,
yeah,
but then we don't actually go any higher without flipping into falsetto, and that's our voices.
I can play Tom Collins.
I can play Joan Collins.
I can play Michael Collins. Did you see that movie? It was about like the Irish mafia. Never mind. That joke's not going to play.
What's your favorite Christmas movie as a Jew? Both of you.
The Preacher's Wife. Obviously, right?
Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah, that's a given.
Or like Life with Mikey.
Is that a Christmas movie? I've never seen it.
It takes place over the holiday season. Oh. There's a Christmas party and Cyndi Lauper like has a candy cane in her mouth at some point.
I've never seen it. I've never seen
it's on Disney Plus.
Perfect! Everything's on Disney
Plus. It's nailing it.
You must subscribe.
A young Christina Vidal and Michael J. Fox. Michael J. Fox and Nathan Lane have a failing agency for child actors. And they have one successful client, and everyone else is just crap.
Never heard of this.
And then this little girl who she stole Michael J. Fox's wallet and becomes the Sunburst Cookie Girl and, like, brings the agency back to life.
Well, spoiler.
And Christine Baranski has a moment.
And Barbara
Baranski Walsh has a moment.
And Nathan Lane and Barbara Walsh.
I think maybe
and it's on Disney Plus.
Because I think James Lapine directed it.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful.
And I think Mandy Patinkin plays Angry Man in Car.
Young
it's one of
Mandy
those.
Patinkin.
Yeah.
Not
oh,
old
wow.
crazy Mandy Patinkin.
What a gold mine.
Yeah, Life with Mikey's
watch
good.
That. I will watch that ASAP.
Let me know your thoughts.
Okay, great.
So you grow up correct.
Oh, sorry, Fiddler. Wait a minute. Fiddler.
Where were we?
I have to finish the story. Fiddler couldn't sing the song too high. And I said to Tammy Wilson, the choir director, who hated me because she was very right-wing Christian Republican, as everyone in the town was, but she, like, let it be known
Midwest.
That I was not too, you know, if I was going to sing on my own, I better change those pronouns to make it about a woman, and I said, I will do no such thing, Tammy Wilson. But the point is, okay, so I went to her, she was the music director, and I said, this is too high for me. Well, and first she said, oh, just sing it in your falsetto. Actually, I think she didn't even say falsetto. I think she said head voice. And I said, I will do no such thing, Tammy Wilson. I have cast recordings. I know which end is up. I see these local tours that come to Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Absolutely.
I will not be belting out Miracle Miracles
change
in my
the key.
Head voice.
It affects nobody
That's
else.
That's what I said. It's a solo. Not only should you change the key to suit me, I will do it myself because I read and write music and I will transpose these orchestra charts for the orchestra and you don't even have to worry about it. And she said no. And it became a whole thing and like my parents got involved. Know, it's high school. It's mad. It's a mad time.
It's the most drama that's ever happened in my life
is high school theater.
It's high school theater.
Of course. That's why Encore exists.
It's scarring.
Yes. And long story short, they ultimately put their foot down and they said they wouldn't do it. And I quit the show and I played in the pit orchestra instead, and I never looked back.
Wow. Man of conviction, y'all.
Yeah.
Gets you on Disney Plus.
That's the kind of attitude that gets you on Disney Plus. Quitting.
It does.
Yeah. That's a true story.
That's insane.
Isn't that crazy? That's real. That's how this all sort of started happening. Because I was like, I can play instruments. I'll just do that. Because I love musicals. I don't need to be on that stage singing in my head voice. Nobody does. That's a note for all you kids out there, boys.
Don't need to be on that stage singing in my head voice.
Like Bee Gees head voice?
No, that's like good, like, that's like countertenor goodness. This would have been bad.
They tell baritones when they're like, when they can't say just lip sync it.
Just mouth it. You can't lip sync Miracle of Miracles
by yourself.
By yourself. Nobody else is singing. Yeah, that's where it all happened. And then I went to college and played more musicals and started doing like summer stock.
You went to UMich.
I went to UMich undeclared. I was not a musical theater major. I was undeclared, just like playing piano for shows and things. And eventually did a major in theater arts, got a bachelor of theater arts, which I don't even know if it exists anymore. I think it does. And actually, I don't know if I can release to the audience where we are at this moment on 30th Street. Maybe not, because they'll stalk you.
No.
But the summer before, no, maybe not. The summer before my senior year, I spent at 265 West 30th Street interning for Dave Clemens Casting. It was me and like Rachel Hoffman and Nicole Valens and Sarah Schatz.
Nicole Valens.
Yeah, she was the other intern with me.
The only person that ever liked me in the audition room.
Really?
The only.
Too bad she doesn't do it anymore.
To this
then.
Day.
But to now she produces this, dance theater or
yeah.
something, right?
And
she produces Travis Wall's company.
She's nailing it.
Yeah, of course.
She was she's always nailing it.
We were interns together, college interns at Dave Clemens Casting.
Wow.
How about that?
Did you think you were going to do casting? Or was it just a theater internship?
It was just, I thought maybe casting. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I thought for a long time, and it was actually at the time it was true. I thought I don't play piano well enough and I don't know enough about music to do music in theater professionally. And I had done like some summer stock and it had been like, it's very high pressure and it was very intense and it was so much playing and I wasn't a good enough pianist at the time. Mm-hmm. Now, that's another story because now I fucking got my shit together. But at the time, I could not play the piano well enough to do this like professionally, like the pianists that come out of like these programs and can really do it. So I thought, well, I just want to do theater. I don't know what I'm going to do. So I moved to New York, got another internship at the Joyce Katté Agency, which was a theater lit agency. She still represents like Tony Kushner and all these sort of big people. It was a very small boutique agency, and I was working there for $100 a week, and then at night I had like theater promotional jobs to pay my bills, where I would pass out like In My Life sample CDs and also the Woman in White vocal selections to go around to piano bars and things to like promote Broadway shows. You know what we do in
yes,
New York, it's nonsense.
Yes.
So the then the Joyce Katté Agency got bought or like sucked into the Gersh Agency. And they took me with them, and I was a receptionist at the Gersh Agency in New York.
Yeah.
And then I got moved to the mailroom, and then I got moved to Randy Goldstein's desk and was her assistant. And then I left that and went to work for a producer, and then I got fired from that producer's job because I was not good at it and not motivated, and I'm not someone who belongs in an office. Like, let's be real. No. I've got a personality. No offense to office people who I'm sure are lovely.
We don't know any, so it's hard to tell.
Exactly. And then I was like, well, I need a job. Oh, I can still play the piano. And then I called my old friend Rachel Hoffman from Dave Clemens Casting, who by then had moved to Telsey. And I said, can I come play auditions for you? And she let me. And then everything snowballed from there, and I started getting work as like a music director. And that is the life story of Adam Wachter, which maybe is more boring than you think and maybe shouldn't be in the podcast.
No, that's absolutely going to stay.
Yeah,
and I want to ask you some follow-up questions.
Okay, great.
So were those interning moments, you know, putting your feet on the ground, going here, going there, were those invaluable experiences? Doing receptionist work? Did you learn things? Are you glad
yes.
you did it? Did it feel
yes.
like a waste of time? What's happening?
I maybe wish I had been like more serious about music to begin with, because I do feel like I lost a little bit of time. But the things I learned in terms of like organization and people skills and like running my real life and writing a business email and like all that nonsense that so many people can't do,
mm-hmm.
I do feel like was good in the end. And I made a lot of connections and friends. Mm-hmm. And I, like, had a good time at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I think so.
You're doing all right.
I'm doing all right. And then I was just, like, music directing forever and playing piano for things. And now I'm a professor and I live in Pittsburgh. So, like, where does life take you? And I'm on Disney Plus. So who the hell knows what that... I mean, Rachel Hoffman always jokes with me that I've had, like, a gajillion careers. Because I sort of have... done that, and every time you look up, I'm like doing something else. But I think that's interesting. Oh. And like, life is sort of long, even though it goes quickly, it's actually long. You don't have to stick with the thing. This is what I tell my students too. Like, yes, you're getting a degree, a BFA in musical theater, but like, you don't have to stick with that your whole life if you don't want to. You can do anything. You can do musical theater in a bunch of capacities, or you can like completely switch gears and move to somewhere else and do whatever.
You could own a thrift store.
You could own a thrift store. You could raise alpacas. You could do whatever you want. You know what I mean? You could do whatever you want, and you don't have to just do one thing.
You can do all of them at once.
Yeah. Don't let this industry or your friends put you in a box or type you as like, oh, you're just an actor or you're just a musician or you know, I don't even know what it is that you do, but whatever that is. Like, you can do anything.
Yeah.
We can all do anything. You just sometimes have to, like, start again, but, you know.
Yeah, it's getting past your own shit. Because it's all up here.
It's all up there. Don't let anyone else define you. That's inspirational.
No one thing defines me.
You're welcome, Broadway Podcast Network. This is an inspirational episode.
It is. So I love it. I love people's... little touchstones, their outline, where they're at.
Yeah.
And the thing about acting or the profession, the business, is that I think a lot of people get discouraged by their day job or like, I'm a waiter and like that's how people see me or bartender or whatever they're doing. And it's kind of like, that's all up here. Like,
that's all up there. Don't
people
let their
need
opinions
to pay their
you.
Rent.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Everyone's like, doing that.
In acting school, they tell you, like, don't ever use what another character says about you to define your character.
Yeah.
You know, your character comes from your dialogue, what the playwright says about you and what you discover. It's someone else's some other character's opinion of you is not how you should define your character, and that's like true in life, I think.
Yeah. It's a hard city to live in, so you have to like,
I love that.
You have to give yourself a lot of,
it's an impossible city to live in, and quite frankly nobody should.
And you don't live here.
And I left
And you don't miss it.
I've been away 2.5 years, and so far I do not miss living here.
Uh-huh.
I miss it. I miss friends. I miss theater.
Sure.
I don't miss living in New York yet. Maybe one day I will, but so far I've been good. But the first year I was in London, so it's like, you know.
Which is also in my notes. I wanted to talk about London. You,
I
like, jumped the pond for a while.
Yeah, I did.
What were you doing?
I was doing a master's degree. I was getting an MA in musical theater writing at Goldsmiths College at the University of London.
How was that experience? Wow. First of all, going back to school as an adult, like, I'm still not ready to ever even consider it. Like, the idea of writing a paper.
And you know what? I was like one of the oldest people in my program, and that was humbling in a lot of ways. But it was also like, oh, I can do this because if all these kids can do it, I can do it. Because I wasn't that old. I was 34 at the time. So, like, a lot of the kids were, like, 22, like, fresh out of undergrad, or even younger, because in the UK and Europe, they usually finish undergrad, like, 21. Mm-hmm. But that was great. The program itself, you know, was, most of the programs in the UK, most of the MA programs are one-year programs, which in the US is 2 years. Most of them are cheaper than they are in the US, and you get a student visa out of the deal to go, like, live abroad for a year and do your master's degree. I wanted a master's because I wanted to explore teaching at the university level. And then I was like, what a great opportunity to just also just, like, get out of here. And I took out a student loan, which was very scary because I had paid off, you know, undergrad. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to do this again. I'm going to go into debt. And I'm going to go to London. And it was the best. Living there is the best. It was just really great to be out of the city. Sure. And I met my boyfriend there on Tinder.
Would you say that was the biggest risk you've taken in your life? Did it feel scary in that way? Or
it felt scary, but necessary. I was like needing to get out of New York.
Okay.
I was pretty done. And I was actually like doing
itchy.
Better than I was ever doing. Like I was playing at the time I was like subbing on Warpaint a lot. I was playing a lot of Warpaint. I was playing a lot of auditions. I was constantly leaving town to do regional gigs. Things were going really well. But I
You were my neighbor.
I was your neighbor uptown. I had to go. Sometimes I think, and all through my 20s and everything, I was always like that person. It was like, anybody who lives outside of New York in some sense must be joking and all these things and being like, I will never leave, I will never leave. And then leaving was the best thing I ever did. And I might come back. I'm not like closing
sure.
the book or like the thing, but I don't know. New York can just fuck you up.
New York can fuck you up.
And you're close so, enough to like
yeah,
zoom over.
Yeah, the flight's like an hour.
Sure.
You can drive if you need to. It's like six and a half hours. I'm close enough. I can come see theater, come see my friends.
Mm-hmm.
And like, you know.
But
I
you had
know.
A Broadway gig.
Yeah, I was playing.
So was that
a
goal
Broadway
of yours
shows.
That you like checked off?
Yes. Yeah. That was another
okay.
thing is I guess.
You weren't rock
well,
bottom. You weren't like
no.
scratching
you
at
succeeding. You
no,
were
I was like at the
living.
Top of, for me, at
yeah.
the top of where I had gotten to by that point.
Interesting.
But
okay.
it just wasn't. It. I don't know. But you know, like, your friends start to leave. They
mm-hmm.
all have babies.
Mm-hmm.
They all get married. Not in that order, usually.
Well, that's another reason why it's best to be gay.
It's best to be gay
because,
for every reason.
You know, the
yeah.
friend family is less heteronormative.
But even the gays. They
even
all
the
get
gays.
Married now, don't
Who
they?
Who said they could have babies? It's weird
well,
now.
Well, that's ridiculous.
I mean, are we finding that that really matters these days?
What, babies?
That the gays are getting married.
Oh, look who's chiming in. Look who's chiming in with his champagne.
No, no, no. It's not that it matters for that reason. It matters because they pair off for their, like, lives. So you don't all hang out as much anymore is what I'm saying. Like, your
sure,
family of gays
sure.
that you always went out with, instead, it's...
They're a bit nuclear.
They're two 35-year-olds who, like, sit at home and would rather watch TV. And that's me. Listen, I'm not knocking
that's
it because...
That's any
same.
Of us.
I... Do not leave my home unless I absolutely have to make money.
If I'm not making
and
money,
buy groceries. I'm home watching Disney Plus.
I can't believe we were neighbors and never took advantage of it.
Because we don't leave our homes. I didn't know my
we didn't
neighbors.
Know.
But even if we did, I wasn't going to leave my house to visit you.
Oh, I would have walked up.
Well, that's nice.
Walk,
that's
I walk
nice.
Up to Kevin. I don't go further.
Stephen
than Kevin.
Will go to you.
Should we play our game?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh my God.
So,
what's the game?
Hi. So this is our end of year, into the new year
Happy
game that we'd
new
like to play.
Year.
It's called What Were You Doing on October 22nd? That's what it's called.
What?
So we pick a month and
okay.
we pick a date and then we
oh.
go in our planner and
oh.
see what we were doing.
Wait, but I think mine erases.
No.
I think on my phone it only keeps like the last 3 months, but on my computer. It keeps everything. Oh. Oh, no, never mind. No, I'm okay. I've got
we'll
it.
See if it happens.
We'll find out.
I don't have January, February, or March.
Well, let's hope none of those are chosen.
Then we can redraw.
Would you like to
first?
Do the first
oh,
honors?
Let me take a swig of
yes.
this. Yes. This is a fun game. I've never heard of it. June.
Ooh. Is busting.
18. What was happening on June
18th? But I love this game so much because I write down everything.
Oh my God, this is so boring. On June 18th, I flew from London Heathrow to Pittsburgh.
Oh,
that's great. It was a travel day.
It was a travel day. That's right. And a few days later, I went to Louisville to shoot the Pippin episode of Encore. And actually, at that point, I was flying back. This was right after the first week in June. We shot Annie Get Your Gun in Florida. And I flew straight from there to London to see my boyfriend. And then on the 18th of June, I flew back home to Pittsburgh.
I have
I
nothing
that.
Written down, so I either did nothing.
Oh my God, yours
or...
is a physical book.
Yeah.
Wow.
I either did nothing or.
You were drunk all day.
It was like a day off, and I did shit, but.
Okay.
I didn't see anyone. It was June. I probably didn't see anyone. I probably sat in front of the air conditioner.
Maybe put this back in. So June 18th, I had dinner. Because I wrote that down.
I do that every
dinner.
Day.
Would you like to choose?
In my
turn? Yes.
Okay.
Was this a good year for you? Was this
oh my
like,
god, this has been
hype?
My best year yet. Because Encore, I'm sorry. Like,
cause
I know,
encore.
But
it's the
and not coolest. To put too much pressure on it, but I just love that I did it and like I'm now forever streaming somewhere doing what I love to do.
Couldn't
you
be
know.
Better.
Because like, that's something we don't get on Broadway, like unless you perform at the Tonys or on the show. Like, there's
no
footage
of
your
which is the great thing
work.
About theater, but also the sad thing about
it's
theater.
The great
or if you're
thing,
Anna Lee and have a show on PBS. And
well,
there you go. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
February 16th.
Oh. What did we, was that yesterday?
Oh, I'm not
going to
have
that?
That in my calendar because
we chose
it's too
February.
Early.
Oh, shit, I have to pick a new month.
No, you just do it.
I feel like we did February.
I mean, it was a Saturday and I was working. No.
Okay.
No, I don't know what I did. I'm sorry, it's not there.
Is it better if we do October 16th? Because I just picked October.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Let's start that over and
October
say...
October 16th.
Oh.
Oh, no. I love when there's a giggle.
I taught in the afternoon. I taught my advanced topics class to my two sections of seniors.
I saw Joel Grey and Elizabeth Ashley.
Oh, that was a big day.
It was a big
day. Wow.
Big day for you.
Together?
Separate.
Are you friends with them?
I work with them.
You work with your yes.
Not for long.
Okay.
But yes, I work with them.
Got it. Yeah, right.
But then the next day I have written down Adam's Family at 2:00, but I know it wasn't the show because I haven't. Did an audition for it. Okay. Did I go see it? Like
it was a movie that Bette Midler
AMC.
Was the grandma of.
Oh.
Oh, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
I went
you
and
went
saw the
cartoon of Addams Family at 2:00 in the afternoon?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was memorable, apparently.
I'm in
Addams
AMC.
Family was my Broadway debut, the Addams Family. Keyboard, too.
Really?
It's in my notes.
Oh, look at that.
I could tell you Addams Family, Finding Neverland,
yeah.
Allegiance, and War Paint.
Yeah, that's all true. I played those shows.
My October 16th, because I know you're all sitting on the edges of your seats. I don't have anything really that day. I worked, but then the next day, the 17th, I did Hocus Pocus trivia.
Oh.
And we there was like 32 teams, and we came in like 7th. And we have meticulous
good.
Notes made by Scott Frost, and we did not win. So
wow. What was like the hardest question?
Oh, my God. I don't even know.
There was some, yeah.
Like, what is this Anderson sister's address?
It was very detailed. Super
that's
detailed.
That's great. Wow. Yeah. I do love trivia.
All right. Hopefully we can...
And last but not least.
Sept?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sept is a good one. And then Sept...
No.
Sept 4th.
Ooh, Sept 4.
This is so boring. I once again taught my advanced topics class. This is another Wednesday.
This is another Wednesday.
So I taught in the afternoon.
I saw Joel Grey and Elizabeth Ashley.
I did a neti pot. Wait, I'm not gonna do.
This is like that episode of Sex and the City.
That's funny.
Well, welcome to the stage. I'm not okay. Since this is another Wednesday, I'm gonna pull another one. But I'm okay. The 2nd
of
September.
Oh, we're still in September. That's
oh my
a
god,
Monday.
It was Labor Day.
Labor Day. I had the day off. It was Labor Day.
I'm sure I made ribs.
I flew in. The day before from Germany.
Oh, I was in Maine.
I was in New Hampshire.
This was the day it rained in Maine. We went
the rain in Maine stays faintly in the plain.
It rained in Maine, so we went to brunch. We had a Nailing It lobster something brunch.
I have a lobster tattoo.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's fabulous.
Then,
a lobster tattoo.
Then we went to Beth's for strawberry shortcake and bacon that is like cured so much that you don't need to put it in the fridge.
Yep.
Picked up some of that and then we like went back to the house and had a rainy Maine day. We couldn't go out on the boat.
Look at how clear your September 2nd is.
September 2nd, soup's clear.
Oh, I'm glad that
we like got into the lazy boy with the cup holder and like put the feet up. I think we watched I think Great British Baking Show came back like that week, so we got to watch the first one.
Mm, what a great day.
It was great, and then we like made pizzas for dinner or something.
Yeah.
It was nailing it. The last day of Maine, we drove back the next day.
I was up in New Hampshire with my brother and my sister-in-law and their child.
Your nephew.
Who was, his half-birthday was that day, or around then, so we're just having a cute little snuggle moment, I'm sure. And that's that game!
And that's how you play
the whole game! That's wow!
We only do
You cut up all those. Oh, do you do this every time?
No. Just
the December episodes.
December and like January, maybe. Yeah.
I understand.
You know?
Yes.
That's cute.
Oh, the year. Wow. There it goes once again.
Please talk to us about Tarrytown. Because I actually don't know it. I listened to like what's on your very up-to-date and well-maintained website.
Thank you very much, Squarespace.
Which I appreciate.
Thank you.
But I am sorry to say that I don't know.
Well, you wouldn't. I mean, nobody does know. It's just a musical I wrote that, like, only ever had one production in San Diego. But it did really well there. Got great reviews. I won, you know, the local, like, best new musical, whatever. And that's sort of it. I don't know. Musicals
What's the
are
part?
Hard.
Like what?
It's based on the Legend of Sleepy Hollow. It's like a modern day
Tarrytown, New York. Which
yes,
I love. You should do it at the Tarrytown Theater.
I would love to. I wish they would call me. I'm really bad about.
I'll be your manager. I'll give them a call.
Please do, because
I'll
I don't
Nancy.
Send it out to anyone.
Rhonda.
Like I have a wonderful agent, but she doesn't like send it out or do things. She just negotiates stuff sort of as it comes in. But like. I need, it's honestly very good, and I wrote it, and it's based on The Legend of Sleepy Hollow, but it's three actors, it's modern day, it's, like, gay, and,
ooh.
You know, it's moody.
The music on your website is beautiful.
There's and a wonderful demo that you can hear for free on my website that's Andy Mantis, Jeremy Jordan, and Krista Rodriguez, and a wonderful, like, seven-piece orchestra, and it's, I think it's great, so...
Your
Go
orchestrations are really beautiful.
Those are by Brian Usifer, who is the MD of Frozen on Broadway. And he did those beautiful orchestrations. So thank you, Brian.
That should be put up in whenever the Sleepy Hollow stuff happens. You know, October-ish.
Oh, yeah. It's super
you know,
Halloween-y. It's all set at
super,
Halloween.
Yeah.
It's like... Headless Horseman realness.
Yeah.
Okay, you know.
Yeah. I've done all that up in Sleepy Hollow. It's fantastic.
Well, call those people that you know up in Sleepy Hollow and tell them to do this musical.
I don't even have to know them. We'll just do it.
We'll just do it. You can produce it. Great.
Great.
It's available.
Done.
Headless Hung Like a Horseman?
Ah! Probably. I mean.
Hi-ho! Hi-ho! Hi-ho!
There are... seven very well-known dwarves in history.
Okay.
If you were the eighth, what would your name be? He's biting on the cork of the champagne bottle.
Sassy?
Sassy dwarf.
Sassy dwarf? Like, who
do we
is
have
grumpy?
Another sassy?
We've had
have you already done this? Oh, and you have a sassy.
We ask everybody.
This is like 60th episode, but...
You're not expected to know that?
Oh.
I certainly
don't
know who's
You can definitely double
watches.
Up.
Okay, yes. I don't... Well, I'm just going like what people say.
It's
I am
the first
form,
thing that comes
like,
to your mind of like
you're
sassy, snarky. But I don't think I'm snarky because
no.
I think snarky is like negative. And I do think actually
it's
the brilliance
people
of
running out of adjectives
that, like,
for gay people.
Yes, and if we're not negative.
You're not mean.
No.
You're sassy.
No, I'm not mean ever. I'm just like I say like it is, and it's in a silly, fun, sassy way. What's a better word for sassy? Can I use a thesaurus on my phone?
Thesaurus store.
Absolute.
Dictionary app. There it is.
I've used thesaurus app thrice today.
Oh, it's the best. I'll look up sassy.
And rhyme zone.
And see what gives me something better.
Rhyme zone.
Rhyming word.
Brazen. Cheeky. I could say cheeky.
Oh, cheeky.
That's
cheeky.
Good one. Because that also like alludes to my status as a verse bottom. Cheeky. I would see some of these are like mean, like rude, smart alecky. I don't think that's right. Wise. Why is wise and a synonym for sassy? Errant.
Well, don't be sassy. You gotta know what you're talking about, I guess.
Well, I guess so. Yeah.
Can you be?
What are your dwarf names? Does everyone ask you that?
I'm nichey.
Wait a minute. It but the dwarves are like, oh, what does that mean? Because niche audience?
Because I'm the most niche person in the world.
Really?
That's why everyone thinks I'm funny.
What if I was
or
like,
or not funny because they don't get it.
Oh.
True.
True.
Has anyone been like, my dwarf name would be Peter Dinklage?
Julia
yes.
Murney.
No!
Yes, and we kept it because she's friends with him. She's like, it's fine.
Okay, great.
Yes. He's been to my house for pancakes.
Oh, of course. Everyone's been to our house for pancakes except
New
me.
Year's Day. Me too. Come on.
Mine is Gassy. And Anna Lee said Gassy yesterday. She's the first one who's doubled up on mine. Mm-hmm. She has celiac. I'm just a trash person.
And the champagne isn't helping.
Just a bit, just a tiny bit. I have to get back to Roosevelt Island after this.
What?
That's where I'm staying with my friend
I've
Paul.
I've never been.
You've never been to Roosevelt Island? It's just over there.
Oh, but so how do you get
the,
well, you
the F?
I've been on the F. I live in Astoria.
So you passed through Roosevelt Island, but you've just never gotten off.
No.
Why it's an escalator. You don't even have to climb stairs to get out of the station. It's an escalator.
Why am I going to Roosevelt Island?
For what's, the views. The views. The views.
My college has dorms over there.
It.
So that's why, why I had only ever been over there. People
I
were like,
came
I'm dorming
to New York
at Roosevelt.
And looked at Marymount when I still thought I was going to like go to school for acting. Roosevelt Island. I mean, cool. You don't want to go in the winter because it's so windy because there's water on either side of every building.
Have you done?
You can ride the tram. That's I just scary. Bought a tram keychain as a Christmas gift for my boy.
What does he do?
He is a reality TV producer.
Oh, bitch! For what company? Like, what
he
does
works
he do?
For a company called Sunset and Vine. Okay. It's in London. And he does sports
wow.
television. So right now he's traveling the world with the Rugby Sevens Championship Tournament. I don't know if that's what we're going to call it because I've never seen a rugby game. Yeah. But Rugby Sevens is like a division of rugby or something.
It's
and
huge.
It's worldwide. And he goes to all the... So he's literally... Well, he's flying back today, but he's in Cape Town in South Africa, and he's flying back to London today. And then he was in Dubai last week, and he goes all over the world, literally, like, filming interviews with rugby players.
But enough about me. Let's talk about you. What do you think of me?
We like to ask all of our guests what their first impression of each of us was.
Well, it's been so many years. My first impression of you was in 2010. And it was a very swoopy bang. This is what we've established. It was a swoopy bang and a hairy finger.
Oh my god!
In a good way. That's a plus.
Are you alive? Do you feel alive?
I'm dead.
Do you feel seen?
Do you feel seen? That's amazing. Oh, bless.
Cheeky!
Bless you and
not
your
a bad
cheekies.
Thing. Not a bad thing.
A swoopy bang and a hairy
and
bang.
He's very Mediterranean.
Beautiful, yes.
Very Mediterranean.
Yes, yes. You can tell.
What was your first impression of me?
Well. Let me take off this Jolly Rancher. My first impression
and
of you
honest
was...
And be honest to Beach. Be honest to Beach.
You were behind the table... I liked the flannel, because we're all wearing flannel.
Unbeknownst to each of us.
I don't know. I sort of thought, there's a white girl.
Correct?
I mean, she also screamed at you. Immediately.
I was like, she looks very pleasant. I remember thinking that. Like, it's a very, like, welcoming appearance. It's very, like, I'm a friendly person, which might be a lie. I don't know. But it was very, like... You know, it's sort of a rounder, like, framed.
Very pie-faced.
Pie-faced?
Pie-faced L'Oreal, numbered 77.
There you go. Yeah, it was very, like, I'm open to you. Mm. I think I'd seen your picture already, you know, from the podcast. Mm. Mm-hmm. From Googling the podcast before I appeared on it.
Well, we've talked about my first impression of you is being the hot gay from Encore. And Disney Plus, like, you were the hot gay.
This hot thing, A, I think it's only because everyone else on the show is like...
No, it's because you're dressed to impress and your hair looks fierce.
No, because you're yourself and that's hot.
But I remember remember the dreads years. You remember. That's
when
you met me. Is
yeah.
You had dreads?
Past my shoulder, white boy dreads for almost 2 years.
Yeah.
I have a picture
somewhere.
I've got pictures right here on my Facebook.
Is that on Disney Plus?
That was my Peter Pan.
Is that on Disney
Plus? I don't think that's a Disney movie.
I thought Hook was Peter Pan to me. Like,
oh, what do you mean? No, Kathy Rigby. I mean, not Kathy Rigby. Well, sorry, no. Mary Martin.
I didn't grow up with that. I thought Hook was like...
This is tied back, though, so you don't know if you're people that...
Yeah, you looked like a white Tracy Chapman.
Just because she has dreads.
Wow.
A white Tracy Chapman.
Well, it's pretty
it was
picture.
A look. It was a look, and it became very memorable, I think, in like the audition circuit.
Yeah.
I think actors were mostly like, is it the accompanist with the dreads, is what people would say.
Sure.
But I hope they would be happy
the noise.
When it was. Yes. It was like, best worst thing that ever could happen.
Yeah.
I'm cutting through the noise. I'm not just another gay Jew playing the piano.
Yeah.
I'm going to have white boy dreads.
You with your swoop. You're cutting through the noise. No one, everyone who we asked this question to who knew you then says swoop.
Because it was so...
It was
sort
really
of
weird. Because I have no forehead.
Curated.
Cultivated.
It was a
cultivated,
swoop.
There's nothing else, but I do want to ask you, what do you want to plug and where are you? Where can we find you?
So
and
many things, I think.
Your Instagram, your website. Mm. Tell people to come study with you.
Oh my God, please follow me.
Sure.
I'm on Instagram and Twitter at Zebra Adam. Zebra Adam. There's a story behind that.
Next podcast.
Yeah. People are sick of this. Zebra Adam on Instagram and Twitter. Or you, if you are currently a high school senior listening to this, you can come study with me at Point Park University in their musical theater program. Their musical theater BFA program. But I only teach juniors and seniors, so you won't have me for the first couple years, but it's worth the wait. Trust me.
But he's a celebrity now, so.
So there you go. And please do watch Encore, because I think
it's so fierce.
I watch the episodes that I'm not on and
yeah.
was not involved in, and I am fucking obsessed with them.
It's one of my top, and I watch a lot of TV
same,
scripted
same.
And like awesome. Couch potato.
So much.
Couch potato.
Yep.
It's top 10 TV series of this year,
okay.
And I would say top 7.
And actually, we just made the top 10 list, I think, of LA Times.
Yes.
Fierce.
Yeah, definitely.
TV
series.
Where
reality
new
TV is going.
In 2019.
It is
it's a pretty
so
special
iconic.
Show.
It's so special.
Because it's, like, heartfelt but snarky, and it's, like, laugh-out-loud ridiculous,
it's
but,
vulnerable.
Like, you're crying. And then there's, like, a musical at the end of every episode.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here.
It was really my pleasure.
It's a whirlwind trip, and you gave us your time.
I would just like the home audience to know that we cut a lot out of this podcast for good reason, because we talked about a lot of stuff.
Oh, the tangentials.
It's now been several hours, but you're hearing the best of, but not the sort of blue version. And I think you'll actually be grateful in the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we talked a lot of deep, dark...
Hairy secrets.
Hairy secrets.
Speaking of the end.
Bye.
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 In the Room with Stephen and Dana is produced by Stephen Farazi
and Dana Craig. Special thanks to Joel Wagoner for tinkling the ivories on our theme song. Hit him up at joelwagoner.com.
We apologize, and you're welcome. We'd also like to thank Jesse Wiener, Wiener, for our jazzy original music sprinkled throughout each episode.
You can find him at jessewiener.com.
Last but certainly not least, we'd like to thank Kevin Thomas Garcia for taking all of our ridiculous photos. You can find him online at ktgnyc.com. We are all over the internet on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at In The Room Pod.
Follow us, like us, share us, pimp us out.
And don't forget to subscribe to In The Room Podcast. We everywhere, so subscribe. And thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat, and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.